Our next guest, former BYU and NFL quarterback, is part of one of the most infamous plays in rivalry history, a play that actually broke a part of my heart. In 2006, I can still feel the scar there. John Beck went on to be a high-round draft pick. Follow him on Twitter at jbeck12. The legendary Sir John Beck. John, how are you, man? Welcome in.
I'm good, man. So when you say I'm infamous, is that like infamous, like El Guapo on the Three Amigos, or I'm infamous?
You're a guy that I mean, we've met you, we've talked to you. You're a great guy, and we love talking to you. But you hurt me so bad 11 years ago. Why, John? Why, John?
I'm sorry.
Okay, now every year about this time of year, you get to hear that highlight. But tell us honestly, how many times do you force your wife every year to listen to that highlight?
Well, no. Listen, here's the thing. You got mad at your like helper that called me, and he said, "Which highlight do you want? Do you want the Greg Rubel one, or do you want the Ute one?" And I'm like, "Well, I guess since I'm on a Ute channel, I might as well go with the Ute one." So I don't think I've heard that clip since it happened. So we never listened to that clip in our house. It's the other one. It's the Greg Rubel one.
Oh, well, the Greg Rubel highlight's like 11 minutes long. My goodness. I mean, Greg, he about loses his voice there. Oh, man. The play itself obviously embodies what's been a great rivalry. What do you make of the rivalry these days, John? What do you make of the camaraderie or lack thereof?
Well, it's tough, right? Because I'm a BYU guy. It's been tough. You know, all these years you're hoping, all right, this can be the year. This can be the year we do it. And really, Utah's owned us for a long time. So on Saturday, I hope that we can flip that. You know, I mean, it's been great. Because even though the rivalry's been one-sided, and I say this, like, I have to answer it honestly. You take the games in 06, what was it, 06, 07, and 09, right? Our last three wins. All those three wins have come in the very last few minutes or even last play of the game. So if we're speaking honest here, Utah has owned BYU for a long time. But for the rivalry to stay as strong as it has, goes to show you how good of a rivalry it is, because when things are lopsided for a decade plus, usually it loses some gusto, some fire, but it hasn't. It's still as strong as ever. So, you know, it's a great game and very, you know, special rivalry.
What needs to change this year, John, for BYU to get the win, do you think?
Well, I think if I look in years past, it's critical plays in critical moments and not turning the ball over. I was at the bowl game in Vegas, and it was like those things right there. Turnovers, critical plays, we miss them, and Utah makes them. And then it puts us in a huge hole, and then they fight their way back, but it's, you know, too late. And this last game, I believe there was a turnover in the very beginning of the game. I think I can see that in my head, right?
Yes.
A turnover.
Yes,
did you guys return a pick six in the beginning of the game, right?
Or something
like
six,
that?
Yeah.
Or there was an interception in the beginning?
It's pick six.
Yep, to Nia Tautiola.
Pick six, right? So we're just handing out points. And I can remember my junior year in 05, we had a fumble deep on our own territory where you're handing the other team the ball and they don't have to go that far to get points. Like, it's those plays. And I think when you look at which team has capitalized off those type of plays, it's been the guys in red. And for BYU to get a win, it needs to be the guys in blue.
Tanner Mangum has all the skills to make a number of incredible throws. He's done it throughout his career, but we haven't seen it so far this year except for finding Matt Bushman down the field. What can Tanner Mangum do to clean up some of those throws that you've seen so far this year?
Well, I think there's some things that Tanner can do, and there's some things that the guys around him need to step up and do. Any quarterback knows that their success is so dependent on the people around them. So you want to help a quarterback get better, let's have the pieces around him do better. And then when the pieces around him do better, then you know it's on the quarterback. Now can he step up with the pieces that he's got? So, you know, we all know Tanner's talented. He's shown it. And it's now about doing it with the group of guys he has now. I know when he was a freshman, he had some veteran players that were around. Young players benefit from experience around them. It can kind of help in their inexperience. Here, Tanner's the one that has experience. It's the guys around him are the ones that now need to catch up and gain that experience. So, you know, you can say it takes time, but the, you know, the reality is Saturday's only a few days away. So that's the hard part. It takes time to create and generate those things, but time is not on our side.
Negative 5 rush yards last week against LSU. Now, you include sacks into that category, hence the negative 5. But my question is, how important is it for BYU this week to try and establish a run game to attempt to open up some passing lanes?
Well, it has to happen because of the way that their offense is built, because of the pro-style offense that Ty's running. You have to establish a run game because I know there's portions of that offense that are set up by the run. It limits what the other team can do in pass rush situations. It also sets yourself up offensively for just a lot of different things that you can do, because formationally, you can only do so much if you line up every down knowing you're going to throw it. But if you establish the run game, now those formations, the things that you do, they just become a lot harder to defend. If there is no run game, gosh, the defense gets to pin their ears back when they know this is a passing situation this team has to throw in. Now they can just come at you.
John back on with us, a legendary BYU quarterback here on ESPN 700. What does the streak mean that BYU's lost now at 6 in a row?
I mean, it sucks. That's what it means. You know, for guys like Eric Weddle, that I know they got a smile on their face. For guys like me, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, let's do this. Let's find this. You know, Utah and BYU fans everywhere, it's been Utah fans have had a smile on their face, and the BYU fans go home frustrated. And unless something changes, it's just going to be another year of that. So I know for all the people I know that are watching this rivalry, going to the game, following it, every BYU fan is saying, is this going to be the year we get it done? It needs to be. And I'm sure that's how everybody feels in the BYU program. This needs to be the year. We want it to be the year. And Utah is trying to do everything they can to keep their streak alive.
Recruiting has been, you know, a big factor into the success of both programs over the years. And with Utah going to the Pac-12, John, I imagine the recruiting only got better. We've seen it over the past 6 or 7 years. Now, if you were Kalani Sitake, how would you approach recruiting? Would you go after JC guys over high school guys? How would you go about your business?
Well, I think you still have to go. You still have to go after the same caliber guys, right? Because you don't know how that kid is going to feel. Is that a kid that's going to see the Pac-12 and say, yeah, I definitely want to be a part of that? Or is that not as big of a factor in his decision-making? So you still have to go after the same guys and see, is this the guy that's willing to leave the Pac-12 on the table and go to BYU? That was my case. I grew up in Arizona. My parents had season tickets to ASU since I was 8 years old. I don't think I attended a BYU game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium until my very first recruiting trip. So, I mean, gosh, I grew up around the Pac-10. And for me, I knew if I go to BYU, I'm leaving the Pac-10. And what was it, hard? Yeah, but it was worth it to me. So I think you still go after the same recruits. Yes, does Utah have an advantage in some ways? They do for the kids that really want to play in the Pac-12. Yeah, that's an advantage. So you just kind of have to see. It all depends on the kid. Do they see that as an advantage or not? And that's why I think it's important for Kalani. You got to go after everybody, because you don't know how that person feels on the inside yet.
If BYU is ahead in this game, or if they're winning this game, if they do win this game, what does that game plan look like? How do you envision that game playing out?
Well, so for me, I made this comment a couple days ago on a BYU radio show. Like, you have a first-year offensive coordinator at Utah, and I know that Kyle is still getting used to what that does to him defensively. What can I do defensively? How aggressive is he going to be on offense? If I'm aggressive on defense and all of a sudden we get behind a little bit, can my offense overcome a deficit? So he's still learning those things. So I think only having one game on tape, you know, Utah only having one game on tape, BYU having two games on tape, I think, man, this is a year where the chess match doesn't have as many pieces that are so familiar. You know, last year, Kyle, he knew what he had on offense because he'd had it for a while. He knew Kalani really well. He had so many familiar pieces. And this year, I think BYU, from a defensive standpoint, they got one game tape. Otherwise, they have to go back and look at, like, Eastern Washington tape and try to figure out. But those are different pieces that he was working with there than what he has at Utah. So I'm really curious to see how it's all going to go. I just know from BYU's perspective, it's got to be minimize the critical turnovers. Let's try to not have them, and capitalize on critical situations. In last year's game, Taysom dropped a dime to our tight end down the middle of the field when we were backed up, and he dropped it. That's a critical play that in games like this needs to be made. And like I said earlier in the show, The guys in red have been the ones making them so far. If BYU wants to have a chance, you have to find a way to make those plays.
Is there a position on the field from a BYU standpoint that you see to be a great advantage over Utah?
I got a question. Are you the dude that was like the punter, the Australian guy?
I might have been.
Is that you?
Maybe.
Okay, you were a really good player, and sometimes didn't you make some kind of comments that were like a little bit edgy at times?
I can't remember that, John.
What'd you say, Tom?
Here's the thing. I know that if you have a radio show with Gunther, it's probably all true. I mean, I think right now, since you're not at Utah, we got the advantage at Punta. So, crikey, mate, I think BYU's got the guy now.
After last week, I'm not entirely sure if I agree with you, John.
Yeah, that's true. Come on.
Wait, but he didn't punt, though.
Touche.
What did you say, Tom?
Okay, position-wise, I'm actually going to go with the quarterback here because I watched the Utah game, and I saw a really athletic kid. I saw a kid make some good plays, but he's played in one game for the University of Utah, right? BYU, I know Tanner's had a couple weeks where, hey, it hasn't gone quite like everybody thought, but Tanner does have a lot of college football games under his belt. Tanner has played in the rivalry game before on a stage. So, you know, for me, I'm hoping, although it hasn't gone the way that we would have liked to see the last couple weeks, I believe that guy that's under center for BYU is going to give us an advantage this week.
Could you give us your final score prediction, or could you describe for us how you think this game is going to play out?
You know, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a slow game through a quarter and a half, and then somewhere at the end of the second quarter, a team is going to start to put pieces in, things are going to start to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that third quarter just the punches going back and forth. And then in the fourth quarter, you have a game, you know, 24, 28, 20, you know, 8 or 17, 21, and then it just kind of fourth quarter, man, who's got the ball the last couple possessions? Who in the fourth quarter can find a way to put points on the board? I think you're going to see points in the end of the second quarter, in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden, boom, now the chess game happens again, and the beginning of the fourth quarter goes back to being a little bit slow. And then what happens those last 6 minutes in the fourth quarter? And, you know, it's going to be a close game. It's always a close game. You know, I want to see BYU come out on top, and just because they're down going into those last 6 minutes, it doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to play out. I think you're going to see 1 to 2 lead changes in the last 6 to 8 minutes of the game.
Oh.
Wow.
That would be tremendous.
What's your final score prediction, John?
All right. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 2024 BYU.
Wow.
John, I can see it just like it was yesterday. We came down, it was 2006, obviously, at Rice-Eccles Stadium, your senior year. The offense went down, threw a touchdown to Brent Castile. I want to say it's about a little over a minute left, and we're thinking there's no chance. There's no chance those guys can do it. John Beck, he's good, but he ain't that good. I turned around half that drive. I didn't even bother watching it, and you guys just marched down the field. You broke our hearts. Our producer, JP's, told us that he's got the Greg Wrubell highlight. Would you like to hear it on the way out? Or, I mean, do you want to, like, alert your friends and family it's going to be played here? Or how do you want to handle that?
Are you telling me you're going to be this kind to me to play the Greg Wrubell clip on a Ute channel?
The Greg Wrubell clip, I mean, it sounds a little bit like a whale's being harpooned, but yeah, okay, here, let's let's play the highlight. Here's the play.
Well, here it is. One play for it all. Snap to John. John backpedals. Plenty of time. He's moving to his left, shuffling. All kinds of time. Now the heat comes. He's got to run to the right. John Beck is on the run. He throws behind him. It is caught for the touchdown!
Son of a
All right,
gun.
Cut it.
All right.
JP, cut it.
All right, it's too much. Yeah.
All right. The end zone. The Cougars
All
win
right.
it.
He's settle down, Greg. The game. Settle down, Greg. You're going to blow
the
a Cougars voice out
guys,
there.
Hey, if it makes you guys feel any better, the first couple of times my kids heard it when they got older, they're like, Dad, why is that girl screaming so loud?
John, we appreciate you jumping on, man.
Oh, yeah, no, anytime, guys.